This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala, wa ba'd. We're up to hadith 16, famous hadith where a man came to the messenger alayhi salatu wa salam and he asked him, awsini, give me long lasting advice, and he said, la taghdab. And he repeated this three times. So this is hadith 16, we're going to look at it in a general way first, and then we're going to look at why the Prophet ﷺ said this when there's other pieces of advice that are far more comprehensive. Then we're going to look at what does it mean don't get angry? Does it mean don't have this emotion at all? Get this emotion out of your system completely, never get angry? Or does it mean don't act upon your anger? Or does it mean both? And then we're going to look at medicine. Wa alaykum salam akhi. Then we're going to look at dawa, which is medicine for anger. There are many types of ways you can prevent getting angry and treat it. We're going to look at that. There's dawa un qawli, which is a verbal type of medicine. There's dawa un fi'li, which is an action, something that you act upon to try and treat anger. We're going to look at that as well. And then finally, what about praiseworthy anger? Is there such a thing? Can you get angry for the right reason? We're going to look at that as well. So first and foremost, this hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رجلا قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أوصني قال لا تغضب فرد مرارا قال لا تغضب رواه البخاري. أبو هريرة narrates that a man came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and he said أوصني, translated usually as give me advice. However, that would have been انصحني. انصحني means give me نصيحة. He said أوصني. What's the difference? A wasiyya is where the word awsini came from. Awsa yusi in Arabic is to give a wasiyya. And a wasiyya is not just advice. It's nasiha, yes, but it's something added on top of that. And that is, it's a long-lasting advice. It's something that you can apply for the rest of your life. It's like a universal principle that will always help you in all cases. Because a wasiyya is also used for a testament and a will. The final wasiyya is like a final will. It's like a final piece of advice. And that's why if a person's on their deathbed, what do they give to their kids? They give them a wasiyya. Not just the will, not just the mirath and the inheritance, but like a final testament, a final piece of advice that is long lasting. So the wasiyya includes two. The wasiyya includes a nasiha, which is an advice, and also includes a wasiyya, which is long lasting. Long lasting. So he asked him, give me this long-lasting piece of advice. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا تغضب, don't get angry. And he asked this repetitively. And the Prophet ﷺ kept saying, لا تغضب, لا تغضب. رد مرارا, مرارا means many times. And some of the narrations you find this three times. So he repeated this question and he got the same answer, subhanAllah. Although the Prophet ﷺ could have given him other pieces of advice. Great opportunity. Three questions, three different answers, but no. Three questions, the same response three times to show us how important it is not to get angry, or at least, if you do get angry, don't let anger paralyze the brain to the extent where you don't even know what you're doing, you don't know what you're saying, because that's what it does. It paralyzes the brain, and it shuts it down like a computer, and you do things, and you say things you will regret later on. So therefore, if you do get angry, don't get it to a stage where you're acting upon that anger. And that's what we're going to get into in a moment. So that's the hadith in a nutshell. Now, your notes go on to mention, scholars say, that the Prophet ﷺ knew that the man who asked him used to get angry often, and that is why the Prophet ﷺ gave him that particular advice. The Shaykh goes on to say, however, that this view may lead to narrowing down and limiting the benefit of the hadith, whereas it's very comprehensive, far-reaching, and applicable to all Muslims because everyone is subjected to anger. That's true. That's true. However, I disagree with the Shaykh, and in fact, this is the opinion of Ibn Uthaymeen, that this man did have a problem with anger. Therefore, the Prophet ﷺ told him, don't get angry. So he's saying that we can't say that the Prophet knew really that this man was a person who used to get angry, so he told him that because that's restricting the hadith. No, because at times, ayat will be revealed about particular incidents, but although the asbab al-nuzul is for a particular incident or a question, The benefit is far comprehensive general that is applicable to all times and all people. For example, إِنَّا شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْطَرِ The one who hates you and opposes you, Ya Rasulullah, is completely cut off in this world and the next. That's what إِنَّا شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْطَرِ means. And this ayah was revealed about who? Al-As ibn Wa'al. And some narrations will say Abu Jahl and others. However, just because it was revealed about them, it doesn't mean that it's only for them. Anyone who falls into this shana'an, which is yani, to oppose the messenger, an extreme bughd. Yani, bughd is hatred, anger, but shana'an is the height, the extreme version of that. To have that towards the messenger, you are completely cut off. Anyone who has that towards the messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, is cut off. So therefore, although this ayah, inna shani'aka wal-abtar, is revealed about particular individuals, it doesn't mean it only applies to them. So the Shaykh is saying that we can't say that this hadith, really the Prophet ﷺ mentioned it and he's saying this because of this man. No, we can't say that. Even though it was about this man, he used to have a problem with anger, this hadith is far-reaching and comprehending and it applies to all Muslims in all times not to get angry. So therefore, what we say is, the reason for its narration was this man had a problem with anger. And the Prophet ﷺ, this is from the mu'ajizat and the karamat that Allah gave him, that he would know people's situation and he would advise them accordingly. And this teaches us something very important. If a brother comes to you and he asks you for advice, and you know this brother treats his wife badly, you know that. You know he beats her up, and therefore the advice you'll give him is, for example, the best of you are those who are best of their wives. Person comes to you asking for advice, and you know this person treats their parents badly, or at least I don't give them time. You advise them, Akhi, why don't you take your parents out for some coffee? Why don't you take them out for some dinner sometime? So advise brothers, advise people according to what you see from them where they're lacking. You know, a brother has a potty mouth. A very bad mouth. Always swearing, using abusive language. Then you advise him that way. So therefore, this is a very important hadith. So in fact, it doesn't restrict it. When you say that the Prophet ﷺ said this because of this man's anger problem, it's actually not restricting it. It's actually teaching you something else. And that is, advise people according to their needs. Because everyone has a different problem. Think of like everyone has a different sickness. And you don't give everyone the same medicine. Every sickness has its own dawa, its own medicine. And to further testify that the Prophet ﷺ knew of this man's anger problem, and therefore he said, لا تغضب, don't get angry, is the fact that the Prophet ﷺ did not give him the advice that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given as the best of advice. If a person wants to ask for the best of advice you can give is the Qur'an. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ In Surah An-Nisa, in Ayah 131, Allah says, We have advised, given long-lasting advices to those before you who were given the book, meaning Ahlul Kitab, and yourselves, أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ To have taqwa. So that's the best advice. So the Prophet didn't say, have taqwa of Allah. Why? Even though this is what Allah has given us as the best of advice, he didn't say that because he knew this man had this problem of ghadab. So therefore to say what the Shaykh is saying here, we don't totally agree with it. Rather, it's not restricting it, but rather it's actually giving us more lessons. Alhamdulillah. Therefore, the point is address every person in a manner that suits them. Beautiful hadith. That's the reason for its narration. Meaning of the hadith. Now let's look at the meaning of the hadith. You find this on the lessons on page 83. So basically the lessons here are telling us what does it mean don't get angry. The Shaykh goes on to mention 4 points. However, these 4 points are really summarized in two. He mentioned four, but I really put them as two. The scholar said, does it mean, number one, don't have this emotion of anger? Is that the meaning? Or when the Prophet ﷺ said, don't get angry, is he actually telling you, don't act upon anger? Which is correct. Al-Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, from the apparent view, from the apparent meaning of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, don't get angry at all. Don't get angry. Don't have this emotion. And that there's wisdom in that. Because if you remove the problem, then of course you're going to remove everything after that. Sometimes people look at the symptoms only. But no, remove the cause of the situation completely. So therefore, the Prophet ﷺ is actually telling you, this is the opinion of Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and others, that don't get angry at all. Because if you don't get angry, how are you going to even act upon
anger. Anger doesn't even exist. But to say, don't act upon anger, then you're basically saying, get angry, Torah, get angry, get angry, get angry. But just don't act upon it. But there's no guarantee that a person will ever not act upon it. One person, you know, if they keep blowing their top, eventually they're going to act upon it. It's true? So therefore, from the apparent meaning of the hadith, we say it means don't have this emotion of anger. However, as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen added after that, that both are implied as well. So if you do happen to have this emotion, then at least don't act upon it. So therefore, at best, don't have the emotion, at best, and then at least, don't act upon it. So that's how we can explain it. So those brothers who said both, correct. Mashallah, scholars in the room. So as you can see, it goes on to mention that change your character, number one, and adapt your characteristics to the characteristics of kindness, generosity, etc. In other words, if you have that emotion of anger all the time, then change yourself. In other words, that's the first view. And then it says, one should not act based on anger while being angry. Right? Because when a person gets angry, they start to say things and do things that they will regret later. They will regret. So they may say, anti talak, they say that to their wife. You are divorced, and they're angry. And then they come to the sheikh later. Ah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. You know, I was angry. No, too bad. You said anti-talak, you understood what it means, you are divorced. Whether you intended marriage, whether you intended divorce or not, if you say anti-talak, it's sarih, it's clear. Whether you intend divorce, it takes place. No worries. However, to say something else, like go to your mother's, here, the intention has a role to play. So if someone says, go to your mother's, they're angry, then is that divorce or not? It comes down to the intention. Did you say it as a threat? Or did you actually, you know, to basically say, you know, get out of here and go to your mother's and have some time off? Or did you mean divorce? So then it looks at the intention. So there's sarih and there's a kinaya. Sarih is when you say directly you are divorced, right? That's sarih, it's clear. And then there's the kinaya where you use some other words. And the rulings of this, you know, that's deep, so we're not going to open that door. We've already discussed the Surah At-Talaq last year. And some people say, divorce doesn't take place if you're angry. Well, no one divorces their wife all happy. Anti-talaq, habibi. Okay. No one says that. Everyone divorces while they're upset. They're angry somehow, yeah? So therefore, to say divorce doesn't take place when you're angry, that's not really totally correct. What the scholars meant, when a person literally lost their mind, they were so angry, they were so enraged, that they can't even remember what they said. They basically lost their mind. He lost the plot. Where that's when he doesn't even recollect at all what he said. I don't even know what I said. At that level, that's when it's taken into consideration. But just to be angry, no. To say anti-talak while you're angry, it actually is binding. We have to be careful. We pray at 7:30. I shout at 7:30. So, that's the meaning of the hadith. What's the medicine and what's the solution for anger? There are many. Many medicines, many strategies to treat anger. Number one, goes on to mention at the bottom there, if a person gets angry, then it is necessary that the person performs muhasabah, which is to take yourself to account. So therefore, number one, take yourself to account. So it's more of a strategy of the mind. Via the mind. Or muhasabah via the mind. So you think of the consequences. If I get angry and I say this, what's going to happen? If I divorce my wife, even though I'm angry, I want to do it now, but what will happen? You know, we'll break up. And what about the kids? They'll be affected. If I crack this guy's head in, what's going to happen? Maybe, you know, the cops will come and I'll get arrested. And I'm, for example, doesn't look good. I've got a beard. Dawah. I have to show patience, right? Although today, subhanAllah, I had to witness almost a punch-up. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, I had to stop. Yeah, Muslims and non-Muslims about to go head-to-head. So I would have not been here tonight. I would have probably went on. But the point is, you know, it's via the mind. There's one type of strategy via the mind. The Prophet ﷺ goes on the next page. It teaches us other strategies, other types of adwiya, medicines. Number two, via the tongue. How? By saying,
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And this is based on a hadith. The Prophet ﷺ saw two people arguing, and one of them was enraged. He said, I know of a word that if he was to say it, he would calm down. It's أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
The isti'adha. So first we said via the mind, in accountability, take yourselves to account before you are taken to account. And next, the tongue, isti'adha, by saying أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
And another way is via the tongue, is not just the isti'adha,
but also soft, kind words. This is actually more of a deterrent from the beginning.
So isti'adha is when you are angry, but use kind words and soft words beforehand, so it prevents you getting angry, or it prevents someone else getting angry with you. As Allah Azza wa Jalla has told us there in Surah Al-Isra. Allah says, say that which is ahsan, ahsan. Not just good, ahsan, from ihsan, excel. Choose the best of words, as we've already taken last week. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا. And we said خيرا from خيرا. خيرا is the, يعني the cream of the crop, the elite. Choose the best words, the best words. Because if you choose the best words, it's almost impossible for them to be taken out of context. But if you choose borderline words, what's going to happen? I could have said this, he could have meant, he said this, but he could have meant this, and he could have meant that. Right, if you choose borderline words, it's on the border. You know, it could have meant this, it could have meant that.
You said kind words and used them before getting angry or before getting into an altercation?
Well, they're both.
Both?
Yeah, both. Because kind words will settle it down, like today. Like the punch-up that almost happened with some brothers and some kuffar today. Although they deserved getting a tell-off, which was, you know, it was good. I have to edit this, Allah. That was good. I let him go off a bit at him, intimidated him. Because these guys, they basically are abusing our sisters. You know, you Muslim terrorists and that. So the boys came down and gave him a good, you know, intimidation, and the guy was shaking. In the end, you know, he got the sister and he said, say sorry to her. The non-Muslim, he goes, I apologize. He goes, no, say, I am sorry. I am sorry. Okay, and then say, I will never do it again. And the non-Muslim, I will never do it again. Humiliation. In front of his family. They had to be taught a lesson. The brothers really, and the woman, this woman was evil. This woman, she was swearing the words I don't even want to say. I don't even want to actually spell it out for you or give you the letter that it starts with. That's how bad and disgusting this old woman. This was in Preston's. And when these brothers came down, you know, she had water in her eyes. Oh.
I love Muslims.
Yeah. She had the nerve to call me uneducated. So I said to her, really? She can't speak English. I go, really? I've got 2 degrees and doing a master's. What do you do? What do you have? She goes, none of your business. I go, okay, no worries. And she was using the word irony, irony. This is an irony. I go, do you even know what it means? And she goes, you're uneducated. SubhanAllah. So, because she was going off and she was racist. You people, we're very tolerant. We accept all religions. You don't accept any other religion but your own. And if someone doesn't accept Islam, then you get him killed. I go, do you accept Islam? She goes, no. I go, okay, you're free to live. You're not going to get killed. I'm not going to kill you. She goes, oh, you're very cunning, aren't you? You've got a chip on your shoulder. She was going off. I was just, قَالُوا سَلَامًا in the khutbah today. I was speaking very soft, and it was قَالُوا إِنَا ذَا خُطْبَةَ تَرِي قَالُوا سَلَامًا. I wasn't going off at her. And anyway, and then after that, she said, yeah, we accept all. I said, you accept Islam, do you? She goes, yeah. I said, okay, repeat after me. Ashhadu. She goes, no. I said, so you don't? She goes, you don't accept Christianity? I said, well, just as you don't accept Islam, we don't accept Christianity. She said, and you say it's wrong. Do you say it's wrong? Do you say? I go, yeah, I do. She goes, what? How can you say we're wrong? I go, it's wrong. I go, because we are honest. We are truthful. Yeah, it's wrong. I said, we have more followers of Jesus than you. She couldn't believe I'm saying that. And I told her, I said, you know, we look like him. She goes, no, you don't. I said, we have the beard. Look at your husband. Doesn't have a beard. She didn't know what to say. Wallahi, she was, I told her, and I gave all, you know, like the khutbah we gave on Isa alayhi salam. 1, 2, 3. She goes, she didn't know what to say. And then one guy, her son, he goes, "Oh, your Quran says this." I go, "Really? What's the first verse of the Quran?" He goes, "I don't know." I go, "Don't quote something you don't know." And I said, "Brother, your Bible says 1, 2, 3, 4. Anyway, in the end, I go, "Look, that's enough talk. Yani, we're getting nowhere with you." I said, "Look, we're getting nowhere with you people." Yani, and I said, "Look, do you want a solution or not?" He goes, "Yes." And then I told it, and like, I was the peacemaker, one of the brothers. He comes to my ear. He goes, "If it wasn't for our community leader, you'd be 6 foot under." I thought he said to them, like, and he was shaking. He was shaking. But wallah, they've been abusing our sisters for weeks now at Amity College because they park in the street. And anyway, they think it's their street. Like, "You're not allowed to park here." I said, "No." In the end, they agreed. They go, "You can park on the street, just not on the driveway." I said, "No one parks on your driveway anyway." Yeah, but in the end, subhanAllah, they were subdued, and alhamdulillah, the Muslims were on top, and they won't ever do that to a sister again. They were, yeah, it was good. They needed to be intimidated a little bit, but it looked good because it looked like I was there to try and mediate, and they had people filming as well on the iPhones, so I looked good. You know, if it is, I'll send you the link. But yeah, sometimes actually people being soft, because you know, I was trying to talk to a soft and it wasn't working. So these brothers came and they intimidated. They were quite big. You know, you thought Muhammad's big. Allahu Akbar. They're pretty big, mashallah. But yeah. What is it?
So he's saying he's small.
No. He's big. They were bigger. If he's small, what am I? Pencil. Yeah, relative. It's relative, akhi. There you go. So the point is, I had to use kind words to relax these brothers. Yani, if they were going to deck the bloke, honestly, I thought they were going to, like, and I didn't want him to hit him because then it would have been worse. But anyway, I gave him some words and it calmed him down, alhamdulillah. So kind words, either before or during, one of the two, it's going to reduce the anger, inshallah. We're going to get into praiseworthy anger, which is at time necessary. There's also medicine via the limbs. Dawa'un fi'ali. Dawa'un fi'ali, medicine of the limbs. And among the strategies is, number one, perform wudu. This is also a prophetic strategy. The Prophet ﷺ said that when you perform wudu, it's a way of calming down. Why? Because when a person gets angry, shaitan has thrown a jamra, which is like a piece of fire or a coal, into that person's heart. And because shaitan is the one who's causing this enmity and anger, and we know shaitan's created from fire, therefore wudu, which is made out of course wudu, using water, puts out the fire. So therefore that's how you calm down via wudu. And if that doesn't stop, if that doesn't prevent anger or calm the person down, then they should change their state by moving. Let me change the environment. Maybe leave the room. Oh, sorry, not change the environment. That's the next story. Now, if wudu doesn't calm them down, what they should do, the Prophet ﷺ also advised, if you're standing, sit down. If you're sitting, lie down. So change your hal, change your state. That's the next option. So the first action of the limbs is wudu. Second action of the limbs is change your state. So if you're standing, sit. If you're sitting, lie down. If that's not working, that's when option number three, you leave the room, you change the environment. You walk out, you go somewhere else. But big problem, big mistake is when people are arguing and you're letting them stay there. No, move them completely away. Move them, because what they're just seeing, that person's face, they're just seeing red, red, red. You got to get them to look at something else. You got to get them to look elsewhere. Change the environment. So when you leave the room, don't go to the shed. What's that? What's in a shed? An axe and a hammer and things like that. No. So when we say leave the room, doesn't mean go to the shed and go and get your tools. No. Or doesn't mean go get the boys. But leave the room, go. Go for a drive, cool down. And that's sometimes, you know, the spouses who are fighting, they fail to recognize this. The husband wants to leave, let him go. The wife wants to go to her room. Let her go. Don't keep following her. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? It happens a lot. You know? She locked the door. Open up, open up. No, leave her. Leave her. She wants to cool off in the room. And we laugh because we know what happens. We know what happened. Let her go. Let her go. And she should let you go. You know, sometimes the husband just wants to go to his man cave. Right, he wants to go to the back cave. And he wants to chill out there. Let him go. So we have to give our spouses, and that's what happens. When you give them some space, they come back and they go, I'm sorry. True? Okay. In an ideal situation.
They come back
more firepower with a list. All right, yalla. What you said the other day, what you did this, right? They come with a list. No, but usually, this is usual. If that doesn't work, Allahumma musta'an. I don't know what to give you after that. Unless you've got some advice. Wa alaykum as-salam. So, strategy of the mind. That doesn't work. Strategy of the tongue. That doesn't work. Strategy of the limbs. That doesn't work. Then, Allahumma musta'an after that. I don't know what I can tell.
Come and listen to Sheikh Badri lecture.
And then you get a sheikh involved or a mediator involved. So after that, you get a mediator involved. Depends. If it's between spouses and so forth. But generally speaking, people don't stay angry forever. Generally speaking, if they have taqwa, they'll eventually get over it. Or if they don't get over it, they should get over it. And that's the meaning of al-afu. Is to not just forgive, but to forgive and forget. To remove that from your heart completely. So that's the medicine and solution for anger. However, is there praiseworthy anger? There sure is. The Prophet ﷺ would at times get angry. And as believers, we get angry when we see what's happening overseas. Likewise, that sister that was getting attacked, or verbally attacked rather, this is upsetting. We are humans. We're not robots. We get angry. We have these emotions. Therefore, it's okay to get angry at times in a manner that is praiseworthy, in the sense that you're getting angry for the sake of Allah. This is how the Prophet ﷺ was. So the praiseworthy anger is when you are getting angry for the sake of Allah. When Allah's rights are transgressed, or when the believers are oppressed. So you're not going to mention some of those ways that anger is praiseworthy. So how do we know whether anger has to be in, so how do we make sure our anger is in accordance with the sunnah? How do we know whether our anger is in accordance with the Quran and the sunnah? It says, this is on page 85, second paragraph. However, there are praiseworthy anger as known from the examples of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never got angry except when the commandments of Allah are violated. Like when he saw a sahabi, he had pinned down a sheep and he had put his foot on its neck, and he was sharpening his knife as the sheep looked on terrified. The Prophet was angry. You're oppressing the animal. And you're going to kill it twice. He said, you're going to kill it twice. The first from heart failure, when it sees what's going on. And the second when it actually slaughters it. So he got angry. Also when the Muslimah was killed. Also when the Muslimah was attacked, her awrah was exposed from the Jews, if you recall in Sirah. And that Sahabi was killed trying to defend her. The Prophet was angry. And of course he waged war on the Yahud. However, it says, if we want to get angry for the sake of Allah, then we need to be careful that we, number one, are really not getting angry for ourselves or for our own interests. In other words, you're not getting angry so you can benefit. You know, there's no really maslaha for you, but rather you're doing it for the sake of Allah. So that's praiseworthy anger for Allah's sake only. Number two. If you're going to act upon this anger, it needs to be done in the right way. In other words, you don't commit wrong actions, you don't resort to vulgar words, swearing, obscenity, because the Prophet ﷺ was never like that. Even though he would get angry, he wouldn't go swear, he wouldn't go curse, and so forth. So therefore, watch the tongue. And of course, that implies watching your actions. And point number three, you need to be careful that we can achieve the benefit as intended by the Sharia. If the action leads to more harm than benefit, then it should be avoided based on the principle of weighing between the maslaha and the mafsada, the benefits and the harms. So therefore, if you're going to act, you need to ensure that it doesn't result in more harm. So watch the tongue, and of course limbs, meaning, so this is point number two, watch the tongue and limbs, meaning that what you do has to be in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah. So you can't do something, even though you're angry, you can't do something that is step outside of the Quran and the Sunnah. So a brother may see a sister not wearing the hijab, but he's not mahram to her. But he's angry at that. He's upset. She's violating the command of Allah. He can't go grab her and, you know, take her home and lock her up and say, no, you're not leaving until you wear the hijab, for example. So it goes against the Sharia. Or your brothers who see, find out that other brothers are drinking, so they start, you know, whipping him. They take him, get the boys, and they whip him. This happened a few years ago in Sydney, and it resulted in more harm. Right, so point number three was that it doesn't result in more harm.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know, actually. That's very important. So those three things are taken in consideration, that you're angry for Allah's sake, and that you act in accordance with the Sharia, and number three, doesn't result in more harm. Now let's give some examples. End with some examples. The Prophet ﷺ, as Anas ibn Malik narrates, a Bedouin came from the desert, rushing and running towards the Prophet ﷺ, saying, "Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad." That's a big no-no. You never say Ya Muhammad. You say Ya Rasulullah or Ya Nabi Allah. Correct. Ya Muhammad. Okay, maybe something's important. We'll forgive him for that. He comes to the Prophet ﷺ and he tugs at his cloak. Big no-no number two. You don't tug at the Messenger ﷺ. A person wouldn't even dare do that to a sheikh. Imagine that. You're tugging at the Rasul. And Anas ibn Malik said, the Prophet ﷺ was wearing a Najrani mantle, a Najrani cloak that had rough edging. So when he tugged, it actually left a mark. It hurt the Prophet ﷺ. It left a mark on his blessed neck. So that's big no-no number three. It's one thing to tug. Third is to hurt the person, literally. You leave a mark on their neck. That must have been a big tug. And then, okay, maybe this person's forgiven because, you know, maybe his family just got murdered or his house is on fire. Khair inshallah, what do you want? Ya Muhammad, give me from the wealth Allah has given you. Give me money. That's what he's saying. Give me money. Allahu Akbar, how rude is this person? Give me money. So what does the Prophet ﷺ do? Does he punish this simpleton for his brainless actions? No. He smiles to Anas and he says, give the man what he wants. Don't get angry. Allahu Akbar. What amazing character. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now a person may say, yeah, but he's a Rasul, cuz. He's a Prophet. I can't match that. Okay, how about I give you an example of someone who wasn't a Rasul, wasn't a Prophet, and wasn't even a companion? Ahsant. Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid was one of the Khulafa of our Islamic history. He's a Khalifa, and he was also a master of a particular slave. One day, this slave is bringing tea towards his master. He trips. Almost tripped. He trips and he spills all this tea on the floor and also lands some of it on Harun al-Rashid. Boiling water. Allahu Akbar. Harun al-Rashid was furious. He was about to explode. Now what could he do? He's the Khalifa. He can do what he wants. No one's going to stop him. And he's this master as well. If he wants, he can torture him, imprison him, kill the bloke. Haram, miskin. Accident. So what does Harun al-Rashid do? He's about to explode. But before he does anything, this slave recites an ayah from Surah Ali Imran. والكاظمين الغيظ. He tells Harun al-Rashid, والكاظمين الغيظ. And those who repress their anger. Allah is praising those who repress, they restrain their anger. So Harun al-Rashid said, كاظمت غيظي. I've restrained my anger. Alhamdulillah. So then this slave, he continues in the ayah. The next part of the ayah, والعافين عن الناس. And those who pardon others, not just forgive, they pardon. Al-afu in Arabic is to wipe out completely. Whereas maghfira is to cover. You can ask Allah for maghfira, you're just asking Allah to cover your sin. When you ask Allah for al-afu, it means not just to cover, to remove that sin completely. He says, wal-afina anin nas, and those who pardon people completely. So Harun al-Rashid said, afawtu anka, I have pardoned you. So then this slave thinks, man, I'm on a roll. Okay, let me continue in these ayat. So he completes and he says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those who excel in good. And Allah loves those who excel in goodness. So he said, لَقَدْ أَطْلَقْتُكَ. I have set you free. I've freed you for the sake of Allah. Allahu Akbar. So this slave's been thinking, you know what, I should spill tea more often. But look what happened here. Look what happened here. Look how three phrases from one ayah, wasn't three ayat, one ayah took Harun al-Rashid from being enraged, blowing his top, perhaps even killing this slave, to calming down,
pardoning and forgiving, and then freeing the slave. Three phrases in one ayah. One ayah, subhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. This is the power of the Qur'an, my dear brothers. Three phrases. Many of us, we don't need three ayat, or 3 months, or 3 years. Some of us need 3 decades to start changing. 3 decades. Three phrases changed him. Allahu Akbar. And you know what's also amazing? Who was reciting these ayat? A slave. You could have said, you're a slave, what do you know? You're just a slave. I'm the Khalifa, I know more than you. But no, he knew, although the slave is speaking, he's speaking Allah's words. This is something that we fail to recognize sometimes. The person who's speaking to us is maybe small, or someone who may not know as much as you, or whatever the case may be. We say, it's just because it's coming from them, we don't accept. No, don't look at who is talking, look at what is being spoken. Don't look at who is doing the talking and who is speaking, but rather what is being spoken. That's very important. And that shows you the power of the Qur'an. And that ayah is in Surah Ali Imran. 133. Ayah 133. It's actually mentioned in your notes there. And it's right in the beginning on page 82. But I didn't want to mention that then because I wanted to end with that story. And with that we conclude. SubhanakAllahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.